Remind me to tell you a funny story with the Blaise Shach and the New Mishnah Brewers. Good morning, everyone. Want to thank our sponsors this morning of the Kol Yom Rishon, Abba and Ruthie Krieger. The Kol Yom Rishon is being sponsored in memory of Ruthie's father, Olav Shalom, Marcus Weinberger, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Should be a source of schia, of merit for their family, for our community, for Kol Yisrael. I also want to thank all the other regular co-sponsors of this program, and again to thank all those who are responsible for the organization of the program in general, in particular, Gwen Horowitz, Dov Daniel, Rabbi Yehuda Saif, and since Rabbi Lichtenstein has been here for Shabbos, and by now people have come to know him and his CV, there's precious little that I could add in terms of introducing him, other than to say that one of his primary accomplishments that he probably does not go around boasting about is the fact that he was the first speaker at our Kol Yom Rishon series. It's a pleasure to again re-welcome Rabbi Lichtenstein to Kol Yom Rishon and to thank him for spending Shabbos with us and sharing much of his insights with us. For anybody who was not here previously and for anybody who has somehow not aware, Rabbi Lichtenstein is the Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivat Har Etzion, prolific author, sought-after speaker, Rebbe of many Talmidim, including many in our own community, a number of whom who are here today. And his topic is Tfilas Arvis Rishus. Without further ado, it's a pleasure to call upon our Lichtenstein.
So thank you very much. I didn't remember I was the first. I did remember being here, though. So hopefully there'll be a beginning and a middle and not an end to this. We daven Ma'ariv every day, of course. We have Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. And we treat them all, of course, equally. Matter of fact, if one of the three tefillot is a bit shortchanged, it's usually Mincha, because you grab Mincha on the fly, and it's only Shemon Esrei, while Ma'ariv, like Shachris, has because Kriya Shema and Kriya Shema in it. Nevertheless, the halachic status of Ma'ariv, Tfilat Arvit in the Gemara's phrase, is much more problematic, and in a sense, we have to do is understand why did Chazal see Ma'ariv as being more problematic. In other words, why is Tfilat Arvit Rishut? Is it Rishut? In other words, is it only optional? And if it's optional, why should this be optional, and why should it be less of an obligation than Shachris and Mincha? So the discussion itself goes back to a well in Gemara Masechet Brachot. It's the first source on the sheet here, of course. The Mishnah says as follows, that this is the opening Mishnah in the fourth parak of Masechet Brachos, a well-known Mishnah that the first three parak of Masechet Brachot deal with Kriyat Shema, and then chapters 4 and 5 deal with Tefillah, meaning Shemoneh Esrei. The first Mishnah, which begins that series of Mishnayos dealing with Shemoneh Esrei, Tefillas HaShachar Chatzos. You can daven Shachris until Chatzos, of course, not advisable for various reasons, but in theory, you can daven Kriyat Chumash until Chatzos, the reader says, until 4 hours. Tefillas HaMincha Ad HaErev, you can daven Mincha until Shkia, slash Tzitzis HaKochavim. Tefillas HaErev Ein La Keva, V'sham Musafim Kol HaYom. So we have a Mishnah which talks about the time frame of davening. It doesn't talk about the obligation. The obligation is assumed as axiomatic. The same way by Kriyat Shema, right? The first Mishnah in the Shas doesn't begin that you're obligated to read Kriyat Shema. It doesn't say you have to learn Kriyat Shema twice a day. It begins, Me'eim Asai Korein Shema. From when do you say Shema? In other words, whatever the Mishnah assumes is self-evident, as axiomatic, it doesn't dwell upon. Or put differently, the Mishnah is not a Rambam. The Mishnah doesn't systematically record everything from A to Z. It begins filling information that's lacking, which of course is time. So it tells us that you daven Shachris either till noon or till 4 hours from sunrise. Mincha you daven till the evening. Musaf all day long. Now, of course, what should have fit in here is, and mind if you daven all night, or you daven till chatzos, or whatever it is. But if you have here four statements, shacharis is till noon, and minchas till evening, and musaf is all day long. So obviously, you fill in the blank. It should be Ma'ariv is all night long. However, the Mishnah says to us, Ha'arvis ein lakeva. It's not determined. Now, the Gemara is bothered by that. Why have this sudden transition in style from using a time frame to make a statement whether or not, and that was how definite or indefinite it is? So, Pshuto Shel Mishnah remains Tulis Arvis Ein Lakeva, meaning there's no fixed time frame. However, because of the change in style, so the Gemara therefore deduces from that that not only the Mishnah is not only saying that you can daven Ma'ariv all night, which it's also saying, but it's also saying that the whole tefillah itself is optional. And therefore the switch in style. This here is the Gemara we have here in the first source. Tulis Arvis Ein Lakeva, Ma'ariv doesn't have a definite point in time. My Eila Keva, what does it mean? It's indefinite. Ilei Madibai Masekulei Laila, if we assume that the Mishnah is talking about the time frame, as the rest of the Mishnah indeed is doing. Lidi Tvasevka Laila. So the style should be the exact same style in like the rest of the Mishnah. So it should say, you can have a Ma'ariv all night long, same way it says, you can have a Musaf all day long. We say it's indefinite. What we mean is, it does the obligation itself is optional. Rinyon explains over here, and I think correctly so, that it doesn't. It means two things: A, the time frame is the whole evening. There's no fixed point at night at which you have to conclude. You have the whole evening. But additionally, the Mishnah is already, so to speak, inserting here a second point, which is that the time it's that the obligation itself is indefinite. Kiman derches avis reshus. And now the Gemara records the machlokes, which regardless of the Mishnah, this machlokes exists anyways. Dam of Yudam Shmuel, tfilas arvis. And Gamliel Mechova, and Gamliel thought Ma'ariv is an obligation. Rishuma reshus. Rishuma thinks it's optional. Amar Abaye, halacha ketivi omer chova. So Abai says halacha is that it's an obligation. Rava Amar Lachti Rama Rishus, it's optional. Tani Rabbana, Ma'is Betalmi Dechad, Shema Fem Yeshua. Some question, a student came to Yeshua and asked him, is Ma'ariv an option or not an option? Amar Lei Rishus, optional. Book Rama Gamliel, he then went to Rama Gamliel, he may or may not have been aware of the tensions with Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua. Anyway, he, after hearing from one Rav, he went to the second Rav and asked him the same question, like Jews always do. And he asked him, "Sometimes Jews are chova. Am I lay chova? Am I lo?" I looked up on the internet, and Yeshua said, "Rishus. No, you're a machmir, and he's a mekel." And he confronted him and Gamliel Yeshua's psak. Wait till we get to the Samedrash and hash it out. Then he asked the question again. Now, the rest of the Gemara, there's the famous story about Rabbi Gamliel then put Rabbi Shua on the spot and demanded to know whether he agrees or disagrees, and that raises a whole different topic. But that whole machlokes was born out of the question, Tulis Arvis Rishus or Chova. The bottom line is, Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua apparently disagreed until Rabbi Gamliel forced Rabbi Yeshua's hand. And later on, Abaye and Rava have a machlokes out of Paskin as well. And because of various psak considerations, we Paskin Tulis Arvis Rishus. That's our psak. Now, we have to do. Basically, what I'd like to do now is two things. A, really, to understand how can this be, like, why should it be Rishus? What does it mean it's Rishus? A, what does it mean it's Rishus? B, is it reasonable to state that it's Rishus or not? We'll start from point A. We come and say to us, I wish your shoes, what does this mean? So because they say optional or not optional. Fine, but what... Now, of course, you could come and ask me, we all daven Ma'ariv. Of course, anyone raising a child doesn't tell him, you know, Ma'ariv is an option. Any shul doesn't have on its bulletin board chakra to this, optional Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock for those interested. In other words, we treat Ma'ariv as being a full-fledged obligation, like everything else. Nevertheless, you know, the Gemara is quite clear, the two sides are shoes. However, there are additional sources which would seem to imply that Ma'ariv is not an option. Take two quick examples. Number one here is source number five. Basically, two sources in the one heading. Tovel ispalel arvis, ispalel shachris shtai. If a person forgot to have a ma'ariv, he davens tashlumin. The same way if you forget shachris, you daven tashlumin. If you forgot ma'ariv, you have to daven twice shachris. Now, say the second half of that source. Rav Anana Marav, Tovel ispalel shachris arvis, if a person forgot to say alviyavo in ma'ariv, so he doesn't repeat. Why? Because Kisha Chodesh is all during the day, so if you don't mention Rosh Chodesh in the evening, lo nora, it's all right, because it's not quite Rosh Chodesh. But if you forget Yalav Yavo and Pesach night, Shavuos night, or you or not quite Yalav Yavo, you forget Chol Moed, you forget Yalav Yavo, you chose it. You have to repeat the davening. Why? It's optional. So I forgot to have a ma'ariv, so it's optional. So why can't I now just continue the next day without davening twice? These gemaras treat ma'ariv like a full-fledged chova. It's an obligation, like every other obligation, has to be made up. Any error forces you to repeat, etc. We shouldn't ask this question. Skip it briefly now to the Tosfos. Okay, it's down here. It's source number eight. Tema l'rav dermatos ivis v'shus. According to Rav, the ma'ariv is optional. Ha'amar perk tuvas ha'shachar. Tov l'spal ivis v'al shachar v'shtayim. If you forgot to daven ma'ariv, you daven twice in shachris. V'amar nami hatam, and they quote a second. You know, they read all these sources. They have it all there in their question. And they quote a third gemara, which also has the same impression. Now, the line number five, Omeri, nihi dirishu sen vata b'chinam. The person we talk about, even though it's an option, nevertheless, it should not be neglected without any reason. Here I'd like to explain the point briefly. The phrase reshus can appear in Hebrew basically in one or two contexts. I can talk about reshus versus chova, an obligation as opposed to an option. I can talk about reshus versus mitzvah. In other words, I can talk about, for instance, I can talk about milchemet. We have the following concept by milchemes chova. You have milchama, you have to go to war, which is an obligation. You have milchemes harishus. You have milchemes mitzvah. So you have, in a sense, three different categories. You have chova as opposed to reshus. You have mitzvah as opposed to reshus. Because at times, in other words, at times the phrase chovah means that you're obligated to do. Now, certain things I'm not obligated to do. Nevertheless, they're optional. I mean, I'm not certain mitzvah. The Torah doesn't force us to do. For instance, a person doesn't know tefillin have to put every day. Other mitzvahs, I don't necessarily have to enter into this field of obligation. I can choose to opt out. But if I do it, it's not neutral. In other words, reshus, when I talk about an obligation, that means I have to do it. When I talk about a reshus, it means it's an option. Like, for instance, tzitzis is different than lulav. Lulav you have to take. Tzitzis, you cannot wear a garment of four corners, and therefore you're not obligated to mitzvah. Nevertheless, if you do it, you achieve a mitzvah. And we have various other such cases in which I am not obligated to do something, but if I do it, I do something positive, which is not neutral. On the other hand, I have things which are, and if I'm contrasting really with shoes as opposed to chova, is it, and the question is not, is it valuable or not valuable? Is it neutral or is it valuable? The question rather is it an obligation or is it not an obligation? So I could say it's chovam, means I have to do, I have no choice. On the other hand, I can talk about mishus, meaning it is not an obligation, but it's not neutral. It's valuable. On the other hand, I can use the phrase mishus as opposed to mitzvah. Mitzvah is something worth doing. Rishu is something which is neutral. And because we have this dual usage of the phrase rishu, I mean, sometimes it's contrasted to an obligation, sometimes it's contrasted to something of value. So we talk about just having rishu. The first question you have to ask yourself is it rishu meaning it's neutral? There's nothing to be gained from it. Or is it reshus meaning it is not an obligation, but if you do it, you're benefiting, do something positive. And this is exactly the point of the Tosos. All right, let me just go back to that example there of milchamot. We talk about alpidin, going to war, so you can talk about milchemes chova, which means you're obligated to go to war. You have a case of milchemes reshus, which means that there's no need to do it. Chemes mitzvah means there's a need to do it. It serves a purpose, but it's not an obligation. Or to give another example, the Gemara talks about Gol Adam, for instance. Is Gol Adam mitzvah or reshus? So there, it's not about an obligation. It's talking about, is it a positive value or is it neutral? Do we allow it or do we expect it? So the mitzvah is contrasted to reshut. And reshut means no value, we permit it, we do not encourage it. While on the other hand, we're talking about mitzvah as opposed to chova, so we encourage, we just don't obligate. And because of this dilemma, what's Tzavis Reshus? So it doesn't come and say, it's very simple. Tzavis Reshus doesn't mean that we permit it as opposed to encouraging it. It means we don't obligate. So it's not imperative upon you, but it certainly is of value. So therefore, whenever we say this Tzavis Reshus, we're not saying that it lacks any meaning and we permit you to daven. But they were saying you're expected to daven, but we don't obligate it. As opposed to mincha and shachris. Okay, having said that, let's ask ourselves the more basic question, which is, now, and so therefore Tosfos establish the fact that tefillas arvis is expected. In other words, it's not obligated in the sense we have certain obligations which are imperative. Of course, unless you are an anus, meaning that circumstances don't allow you whatsoever. But a person has to take a lulav. Obviously, if he's in circumstances without a lulav, he's a captive. He's unconscious, so he doesn't take a lulav. But otherwise, he has to do everything to take a lulav. In that regard, tefillah is different. So reshusha means it's non-chova. This is Tosfos. The Rambam and the Reef, they assume that the phrase reshus means, okay, they assume reshus means also it's not an obligation, but nowadays they claim it's become an obligation. In other words, what Tosfos say is, Tosfos obviously remains in our days an option. But it's an option which even in the time of Chazal should always be exercised, unless circumstances don't allow it. The Rambam and the Rif come later on and say he has been transformed subsequently into an obligation. Pidas and May, Ma'ariv here is in a different level of obligation than Shachris and Mincha. And now the basic question is, why? Why is Arvis different than Shachris and Mincha? Now, this presumably takes us to the most basic question regarding tefillah in general. This is a famous Gemara in the beginning of fourth pack of Brachos, source number 2. Itmar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin Amar. Tefillah is Avos Tignan. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin stated that tefillah were established by the Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shimon Levi, Tefillah, Sekhet, Korbanos. Kikeket, Tefillah, Tignan. The davening was established as in place, in, either in lieu or as a memory of the Korbanos. Tanakh, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanin. We have sources which support each position. Here we have a brayso supporting his position. Avram tikkun tefillah shachris. Avram established shachris from the story there by Sodom. And ve'ein amidah l'tefillah. Avram presents himself to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is first and foremost presenting yourself to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak tikkun tefillah mincha. Shema Yitzchak Yitzchak Nesuach Basadeh, Yitzchak went Lasuach, now Lasuach here the parent means to take a tiyul, take a walk, because Chazal assumes from the phrase or the source of Sicha. He went to converse with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yaakov established Ma'ariv, Shema Vayivga B'makom Vayalen Sham, he encountered the place and he slept over there. And Vein Pgiya, and an encounter is always considered tefillah. Shneimar, and we'll get back to this later on. But Tal Tifah Adam Azel Tisab Adam Yalut Fel Tivgabi. Yirmiyahu says in time of the Churban, don't pray for them. Al Tisab Adam Rinau Tefillah. Don't pray for them, and don't be pogeya. Now, obviously, Yirmiyahu as a prophet can't be pogeya. Pogeya no one means to injure, right? So Yirmiyahu is not going to injure Kadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. So it says, Al Tisab Adam Rinau Tefillah Al Tivgabi. So Livgo obviously doesn't mean to injure, it means to encounter. Now what kind of encounter? So there's a parallelism. Al Tisab Adam Rinau Tefillah Al Tivga. Don't pray this way and don't pray that way. So therefore, because of the parallelism, so Chazal Darshan that ain't Bgel Al Tefillah, and therefore Yaakov established Ma'ariv. Shimon Levi, the other opinion, why Shachris is because of Tamid Shel Shachar, the korban, the sacrifice they would bring every morning in the Mikdash. Mincha is instead of the korban we would bring in the afternoon. And the Ma'ariv, so Ma'ariv what? Verse says, all of the organs of the animals which were sacrificed, if they didn't have time to do during the day, they would do it in the evening. In other words, the Mikdash was working in the evening as well. Even though korbanos have to be brought during the day, the mikdash was still in session, so to speak, in the evening, and they were sacrificing all the organs of the animals, and therefore Ma'ariv is against that. Okay, now if we ask ourselves, why should Ma'ariv be optional? Why is Ma'ariv different than Shachris and Mincha? It seems to be, and there's a claim made by many achronim, there's a huge difference here between these two opinions. If I consider davening to have been established by the Avos, I assume that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov created the system of the few tefillos. Why should we shortchange Yaakov? Why is Yaakov's davening worse than Avraham or Yitzchak? Avraham established Shachris, Yitzchak Mincha. Why should Yaakov be less of an obligation? Yaakov is not a second-rate Av. We treat Yaakov this way we treat Avraham and Yitzchak. By the Mashar said Yaakov was Bechir Sheva Avos. Since he's the climax of the Avos, Yaakov arrives at a certain tiferes between Avram and Yitzchak. He combined the best of all worlds. At any rate, he's certainly a bona fide Av, just like Avram and Yitzchak. There's no reason to assume that his davening should have less of an obligation than Avram and Yitzchak. I would also add, and we'll get back to this later on, parenthetically, that if we think in terms of the religious experience, so intuitively we would say the following. If we talk about Tefillah Avos Tiknu, because the Bien God encounter should be a daily encounter, not only in special times. The Yadus believes that a person meets Kadosh Baruch Hu every day. We could talk about once a day, which is the way the Rambam thinks the mitzvah is midoraisa. If we're not going to talk about once a day, the next stage is to talk about twice a day. But twice a day would be morning and evening. So we have in Kriyat Shema, b'shachbecha uvkumecha. In other words, if I'm going to talk about the framing human experience, framing time, I'm going to talk about morning and evening. I'm not going to talk about morning and afternoon. In other words, the more I want to talk about the person has to be constantly in touch with Kodesh Baruch Hu, so say every morning, every evening. When you wake up, when you go to bed, frame your time. In other words, the human schedule is from the morning to the evening. So we're going to talk, if we're going to talk about once a day, we're going to expand it. The natural expansion should have been Shachris and Arvis. The problematic one is Mincha. Mincha is like in the middle of the day. And like in Kriyat Shema, indeed, that's what we do. In Kriyat Shema, we say, B'shachbecha uvkumecha. So I can understand three times a day. I can understand one time a day. I can understand twice a day. But twice a day should have been Shachris and Arvis. To take all this and put it together, there's no reason to assume that Yaakov's davening should be worse than Avram and Yitzchak's. And we talk about the general concept of tefillah. There's no reason to assume that the evening should be less than the afternoon. The afternoon seems to be a bit out of place. It's in the middle of the day. So it's very difficult to assume that tefillah or the Arvis should be more optional and less an obligation if we talk about tefillah through the idea of the avot. But if you talk about korbanos, so here's a whole different story. Just look at what's going on over here. You have Tamid Shel Shachar, right? That's the korban. It's the full-fledged korban which you bring every morning in the mikdash. You open the day in the mikdash with a Tamid Shel Shachar. You conclude in late afternoon with a Tamid Shel Ben HaArbaim, because in the mikdash you don't work in the evening. At night there's no avoda. Avoda has to be during the day. The mikdash frames the day, morning, late afternoon. So the korban of the morning is shachris. The korban of the afternoon is mincha. So tefillah shachris is analogous to the korban of tamid shel shachar. Mincha, the tamid ben harbayim. Ma'ariv is left with nothing. So the Gemara tells us you get the evar mepedari. You get more sacrifice in the organs and the fats from the animals. Now, not only, of course, the second rate, because it's leftovers, and it's leftover from a good deal from those korbanos from before, there's also a more basic problem. Just to get into a quick foray into kodshim, if you think about korbanos, or let me say it like this. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, and you can find it here in the last source, 16, Tanya, Amar Bishimon, Bo Re'ei, Kama Chaviv HaMitzvah B'Shata. See how fond or how important the mitzvah is to do it on time or promptly. Sharei Hekter Chalim Ve'Varim V'Pedorim Shem Kal Laila. You can sacrifice or burn all of these offerings in the during the night. And you don't wait till the evening. What does it mean? The context is the following. The verse about Shabbos. The verse is talking about sacrificing sacrificing these offerings on Shabbos. Now, the verse is like this. If you make a korban on Shabbos morning, you burn the Evarim Pedarim, if you have time, during the day. There's no need to wait till Motzei Shabbos. In other words, if I make a korban, now what's imperative is to shech the animal, even though it's a melacha, so we say that avod and mikdash, in other words, the korbanos can override these or Shabbos, so you shech the animal, and that's a malacha, you then sprinkle its blood on the Mizbech. However, the next stage, to burn the fats and the organs on the Mizbech, it's also a malacha, but it's an unnecessary malacha. It's like we went to Motzei Shabbos, because hektechavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav go there and start throwing the fats on the fire, wait till Matzah Shabbos and do it without any Chilul Shabbos. So the Gemara says over here, not so. You can do it Shabbos afternoon. Why? Because Chaviva Mitzah B'Shata. Because it's important to do a mitzah promptly. Okay, it's a good idea to do a mitzah promptly, but to Chal Shabbos for that? So, the point is as follows. We have a concept in a different Gemara about Zrizi Magdil and Mitzvahs. Right, Avraham Avinu got up early in the morning and did a Bris Milah as early as possible. Person should make an attempt to fulfill mitzvahs bizrizut. You know, he should do it as early and as quickly as possible. But this and Chavim Mitzvah Bishata are two different concepts. Zrizi Makdimin means qualitatively the mitzvah is uniform throughout the day. If you do a Bris Milah 8 a.m. or 2 p.m., it's the same Bris Milah. The difference is that if you do it 8 a.m., you show that's fond for you. You appreciate it. You want to, you know, you're treating it as an opportunity, not as a burden. If you do it late afternoon, so if you have no good reason, so you're showing, you're trying to postpone. It's a burden which has to be done, but I don't have to go and rush it. I'm not excited about it. Now, obviously, excitement is often balanced by many other commitments. If a person needs guests to come from out of town, whatever, so you balance the excitement together with various other considerations, because essentially it's the same mitzvah. Chaviv Mitzvah Bishatas is totally different. It says the mitzvah is qualitatively different. It's not the same mitzvah. Had it been the same mitzvah, for Zizim Akademin, there was no way in the world we would have Chal Shabbos. We never would have said, burn a carbon on Shabbos morning if you went to the evening because of Zizim Akademin. I would have said, the reason you're not doing it early in the morning, because Shabbos prohibits you. There's no, it doesn't reflect upon any reluctance on your part to bring the carbon. Simply, it's Asur. Chaviv Mitzvah Bishata means qualitative, it's a different mitzvah. Why? Essentially, it's for the following reason. When you bring a carbon, so the carbon has a dual track to it. Track number one is to shech the animal and sprinkle the blood. It's because Adam. Ki Adam hu banefesh yichaper. The dam is the essence of life. And therefore, sacrificing life means, first and foremost, throwing the blood on the Mizbeach, and that's the basic of a korban. Adam u'banevesh yichaper, yikar kapar b'dam. Dam, as the essence of life, is the essence of a korban as well. However, there is also another track. It was, you bring not only the dam, you also bring the animal itself. Or you bring, if you want, the meat of the animal. This is what we call haktara. Not zrikas hadam, haktara meaning actually burning them on the mizbeach, burning the meat or the organs on the mizbeach. Now, this has a dual element to it. Element number one is, it is a korban, meaning a sacrifice. You offer it to Kadosh Baruch Hu. On another level, it's not a korban. Korban has always three stages. You have avoda, and then you have achila. Right, when the carbon, after the carbon has been brought, so now the Kohanim eat the meat of the carbon. And once you've offered whatever you've set aside for the Mizbeach, the Kohanim eat the rest of the animal. To put it differently, you have a Kiyum Avoda and a Kiyum Achila. You have the actual offering of the carbon, and you have the consumption of the carbon afterwards. In this regard, and now, when you take the meat and burn the mizbeach, al pidi is considered achila, or to put it in the phrase of the Gemara, If you eat the meat of the korban, it says twice, achol yachel. If you eat the korban, as I say, b'shtei achilot haketuv medaber, talks about two options for consumption. Achat echad mizbeach, achat echad sadam. Either you consume it through the mizbeach or through the kohanim. And you have therefore a track of consumption, not of avoda, not of an offering, but of how you consume, how you properly dispose of the korban. You have therefore a kiyum avoda, and you have a kiyum achila. And there are many halachot, by the way, which actually reflect this fact. When you put an animal in mizbeach, it's ki'ilu, it's eating it. Just to quote an example, the halachas of Tumas Ochlin apply to whatever you burn on the mizbeach can receive tuma the way food does. It's food receives tuma, things that should not, food don't. In other words, an object in a natural state does not become tame. The tuma is either vessels, utensils, or food. So korban is tame because it's food. It's food of the mizbeach. So you have essentially when you burn the meat on the mizbeach, it can be avoda, it can be achila. So now, if you do it during the day, it's avoda. If you at night, it's ain't avoda b'layla. You can't do avoda at night. So if you do it during the day, it's avoda. You're doing it at night, it's achila. So to put it very simply, why can I burn the korban on Shabbos? Because this is very simple. If I wait till Matzah Shabbos, it won't be avoda anymore. In other words, the avoda, the korban, will be forfeited, it's a mitzvah overes, unless you're on Shabbos. Now, avoda is dochah Shabbos. We can postpone Shabbos in order to... I can override Shabbos in order to be a korban. If I wait till Matzah Shabbos, I won't be a korban anymore. The mizbeach will be consuming it, but the mizbeach won't be an offering anymore. It won't be an avoda, it will be achila. So therefore, qualitatively, bringing or sacrificing the organs on the mizbeach during the day is different than at night. During the day, it's avoda. During the night, it's only achila, which is what justifies the chil Shabbos. We put differently, chaviva mitzvah b'shata. Now this explains why we bring it on Shabbos and we burn the organs of the mizbeach, which is fine. But if we ask about Tuas Arvis now, it's not only the problem with Ma'ariv now is a dual problem. It's not only that it's not really a korban; it's simply a collection of leftovers from the previous korbanos. But when you burn the Evarim Pedarim, these organs on the mizbeach at night, you are not really doing avoda. What you're doing is achila. So Ma'ariv is left with nothing. No, Shachris has the Tomei Shal Shachar, Mincha has the Tomei Shal Ben Arbaim. And what does Ma'ariv have? It has achila, not avoda. So the Evarim Pedarim is a very problematic justification for Ma'ariv. You left with really nothing there. So if I come and say that the tefillos were established by the Avos, and they reflect some kind of religious experience, so then Ma'ariv is a full-fledged tefillah, just like Shachris and Arvis. Excuse me, just like Shachris and Mincha. But if I talk about the Karbanos, so Ma'ariv is indeed on a much, much lower level qualitatively. Therefore, essentially a whole school of thought, which says, the question, Tfilas Arvis, Rishu, Surchova, really goes back to what you think about Korbanos. If you think that Tfilah is versus Korbanos, so then Ma'ariv is really second rate and should be optional and not an obligation. If you think about Tfilos, Tehid Avos, so Ma'ariv should be a full-fledged obligation. Now, this seems quite convincing. Now though, let's go ask ourselves, so if I talk about Tfilos Keged Avos, So then we arrive at the opinion that tefillah is, that arvis is a chova, it's an obligation. If you talk about tefillah kineged korbanos, arvis indeed, I said second or third rate. And now, this, if you take a look in Rashi in source number 11, the man demand tefillah arvis for shoes. The masech is brachos. Then she kineged hegdechalim veimurim. So Rashi says as follows. Why is it reshus? Because we assume the man the Amar that Tfilas Arvis is Kineged Korbanos, and these now Rashi throws in here because sacrificing the Avraham Pedarim is not b'di'evit. In other words, if you forget to do it, the Korban is still kosher. I said before, it's not only that you can get along without that, but even when you do it at night, even if you do it, it's probably second rate. And therefore, Rashi draws the line here between the mandam and tefillas arvis reshus and tefillah kineged korbanos. The Rav Yehuda here in the next source, number 12, he argues on that, and he quotes Rashi. Second line, v'tu lo yedana minali Rashi hai. I don't know why Rashi thinks you have to connect these two questions. The omerani. Even the person, this is an obligation, assumes that the korbanos, that the tefillah are basically established because of the korbanos. It's true, you don't have to offer that. Or if you don't, the korban is kosher by the eved. In other words, you've still discharged your obligation on a lower level. However, the chatchil, you have to do it. Just one second. So he's right. It's true that you have to do it. But my metaphor is, it's not a question of yes or no. The question is, it's not a question, is it less basic, more basic? When you do it at night, it seems to lose all its significance of korban. And therefore, even if I say that you have to do it, but so what? It's still much less of a korban. That's why at the end of the day, Rashi seems to be convincing. Many later achronim agreed with Rashi on this as well.
Just for the layman's understanding, my understanding is that there are two korbanos during the day, Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Ben Arvaim, and then there's a completion of the avoda, which is the Keter Chalavim at night. But then if you say that tefillot are kineged korbanos, then there should be two tefillot, and not a third one, which is optional, but either some kind of completion of the first two, or there isn't a third korban that...
You're right. So I'm going to talk about that in a moment. That's really you're anticipating the next step, which is very good. But I'll get to that in a moment. I'll just add one final point here. We talk about, up to this point, I've emphasized that bringing or offering these very pedarim at night is less of a korban. I would also now, before I get to answer your question, I'd like to add an additional point. We talk about tefillah. Right, so what's a korban tamid? Am Yisrael's a nation, right, brings a korban every day to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We come in the morning, we bring a korban sibur. Right, it represents us. In other words, we have Am Yisrael's in daily contact with Kodesh Baruch Hu, morning and evening. Avraham Pedarim don't really have any particular identity. And it's not only from the tamid, it's really all of the Avraham Pedarim left over during the day and then sacrificed at night. It may be from the Tamid, it may be from various korbanos, which all kinds of people brought during the day. People brought all kinds of individual chataos, rashamos, or whatever. The Mikdash can take it all and offer all of these in the evening. In other words, to put it differently, a very pedarim don't have an identity as a particular korban. It's simply, it's the odds and ends left over from the various korbanos. Or to put it differently, you may be here, and this is from above, without getting more into detail in Kodshim. you bring these not only as the part of the korban, because before you take, you gather from all the korbanos, it's part of what the mizbeach deserves. But differently, it's called in halacha lachmoshel mizbeach. The mizbeach deserves to get all of these korbanos. But this stage, the identity is already, we are not trying to identify the korban tamid shel shachar, tamid shel ben arbaim. We're saying, Ma'ariv is against the activity in the Mikdash, but it's activity from the point of view of Mikdash. It's not the individual or the nation or the collective bringing a sacrifice. It's rather the Mikdash taking whatever is there and it's Mekadesh. It becomes part of the Mizbeach, but it's lost its identity as the individual's offering or the collective's offering. So there's no real identity to this carbon either, and presumably the whole point of the tefillah is to recreate or to represent our communal offering that we bring. And it's not we're bringing, Mizbeach is taking this really. So now, to get back to that question, it's very problematic to explain why Ma'ariv should be Keged Karbanos. As I said before, the Rashi says, if you forget to bring the Evarim Pedarim, the Karban's kosher anyways. As I said before, if you do it at night, it may not be, it may not even be a Karban, an Avodah, it may be only Achila. See, I said now, it loses its identity. You bring it as a generic offering. There's no individual identity to these particular sacrifices. Therefore, it's highly problematic. So now, as you correctly asked, so why Davin Ma'ariv? Let's do something else. So here, we get to get back to the nature of Tilas Arvis, and to we'll see it through Gemara in a moment, but let's go back to the source we read before. Right. Avraham was Metake in Tilas Shachris. Yitzchak is Tfilas Mincha. Yaakov was Metakein Tfilas Arvis. Why? So, or has the Gemara know this? The Gemara says, as we read before, Vayivga b'makom v'yalen sham v'ein p'gi'a ela tfila. Shema v'tal t'va b'adam hazo t'sa b'adam yal tfila v'al tifga bi. What are the circumstances? Yaakov is going to Haran. He's escaping from Esav. He, in mid-journey, arrives in the boundary between Israel and Chutz La'aretz. He bumps into this place, and Chazal interpreted, he bumps into Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vayivga b'makom, makom meaning Hamakom Baruch Hu, Vayivga b'makom, he bumps into Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, and he's a spotlet. And what's the source for this? The source is the Psukim in Yirmiyahu. Let me now for a second quote a very interesting comment here from the Rav once. He spoke Parsha Vayetzeh. He spoke Parsha about Yaakov Avinu. So he said the following. He described that Ma'ariv, he said like this, and he prefaced by the following comment. I was 18 at the time, a bit older than 18 now. He said, none of you understand this. Other people in the Shira were 22, 23. He said, none of you understand this because you're much too young. But the Rav was at the time 76. He said, Ma'ariv is a tefillah for survival. You have a Ma'ariv to wake up tomorrow morning. When you go to bed, you'll be able to get out of bed the following morning. Essentially, when you dive in Ma'ariv, you're diving for your survival. And he then, if I remember, he then dwelled upon Hashkiveinu particularly. But essentially, he characterized Ma'ariv as being a tefillah for tzara. Now, of course, if you think about it, it fits in very well with all the circumstances, right? Avram and Yitzchak are in Eretz Yisrael, they're doing fine. Yaakov is on the lam, he's running away, escaping for his life from Esav. He's the Av of Galus, right? He's diving Balaila, and the Midrashim describe over there all of these the visions he sees in his dream over there. And so when he sees the Malchel Him Olivier Dimbo, it's from Ban Kotz Medrash, which is the Medrash Rabbah on location, that what does Yaakov see? He sees the Arba Malchuyos. So he sees Galus, and he sees how Galus is never ending, and he wakes up quite upset. In other words, Yaakov is in circumstances of distress. And if you look at the Pasuk of that, the quality, Vayivga b'makom, and so Vatal, he said, we now talk about Amazev al Tifgabi. It's the time of the Churban. There was the source proof that was being brought to justify or to explain Yaakov's tefillah is not from the Churban. In other words, Vayivgam, it's Ein Pgiyala Tefillah. It means a person who feels helpless, who's banging on the doors of the Kadosh Baruch Hu to save him, to rescue him. Let's simply put, Ma'ariv is a tefillah from the depths of a struggle. And now you could, one could ask, and I leave this to for you to investigate later on, how you understand Avram and Yitzchak. Right, Avram there, on the one hand, he's also interceding for Sodom, and there's a crisis about to happen. So the pasuk is a bit tricky. It says Avram Odeno Mechem Lifnei Hashem. Was he davening before he heard about Sodom, or is Chazal referring to his tefillah for Sodom when he's also there pleading for Sodom? Yitzchak, it sounds like a very pastoral afternoon shpatzir on the one hand. On the other hand, the pasuk that's quoted, Ein Sichal Tfilas, Tfilah Nikiyatov, Lifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicha, which is clearly distress as well. So one could, I think one could really debate or reflect upon Avram and Yitzchak whether they also are dying of distress, but certainly Yaakov was like this. And of course, nighttime is always like the lagid baboker chazdecha v'emunatcha baleilot. The evening is always the time, or night is time in which we feel the galus and tzara, and the need for survival is greater. So now, if we ask, what does Ibris Vishus mean? In a sense, it may mean the following. Not only is the level of obligation lower, the whole nature of Ma'ariv is really different than that of Ibris and the Shachris and Mincha. Shachris and Mincha are tefillot which are mandated to be in lieu of korbanos, and they reflect that nature. We'll get back to this in a moment. Well, Ma'ariv is supposed to be a tefillah which is less formal. It's simply a cry for help. It's simply man approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu screaming out for help. There's a beautiful passage in the Netziv in Namik Dover in the end of the first parak of Dvarim. It puts it like this: Shema Hashem bekolchem v'lo hezin aleichem. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't listen to you. He didn't hear you. He didn't listen to you. So the Netziv says, Shnei ofanei tefilot heima. There are two kinds of davening. There's one which he calls tzaka min hamat halev. It's a shriek. It's a cry. You scream out from distress. The Rav has an article, and also a very similar distinction. He talks about slichos, that the prototype of slichos is to scream out. He talks about your heart is aching, it's an aching heart, it's a heart which is full of pain, so you scream out. And the example he gives there is someone who has been, so for instance, a mother whose son has been condemned by a king, so she rushed the police lines and fling herself at the king's feet and plead for mercy. He says that if Melech is Rav Chesed, if the Melech has a Yiddish neshama, he will forgive, even though it's against the protocol, even though it's against all the rules, simply because he recognizes the stress. And the other form is, we call Tefillah Bechin Erech Sfataim, very formal, organized, his whole protocol. The example he uses, or he hasn't used the example, but certainly what you get the impression is, it's a lawyer. No, it's not the mother of the defendant. It's the lawyer, it's the advocate who comes, and he comes to court properly dressed, and he argues according to certain legal paradigms, and he gives, he speaks articulately, and the like. No, it's not like the mother who's confused, and it's full crying, you can't understand what she's saying. The lawyer's articulate, he's well-reasoned. So he talks about Chin Erech Sfatayim as opposed to Ne'amat Halev. He also quotes the halachic nafkamina, which is very far-reaching. Halacha says that you can daven in any language, not only in Hebrew. It's a mission of the Sechet Sota. The Gemara explains why. Because tefillah is rachmi. Tefillah is a plea for mercy. So the Tziv says that's only if you daven minamat halev. If you daven a formal tefillah, it has to be dafkin in Hebrew. Chassam Sofer says something similar. I'll quote it, Blina, very shortly. So at any rate, you have these two paradigms of tefillah. You have the formal, articulate, organized tefillah. You have the tefillah, the passionate, confused almost, crying out for help. Ma'ariv is supposed to represent the second kind, the one of Ze'aka. Now, where do we find the discussion of this? Or where does it find its halachic expression? So we have here the following. If you take a look here in source number 3, the Gemara discusses the person that happens in the Ila, is he now going to have a Ma'ariv or not? Because he's going to have a Ni'ila. And so it says like the Amar Rav, Tchilas Ni'ila Padeshal Arvis. Rav Letayme, don't you say it's Rav considers Ni'ila, it's Lusa Yaser. So the Gemara has a discussion what Ni'ila is. But the Rav, Ni'ila is not saying something you rafs or whatever, or some kind of form of Vidui. Ni'ila is a full fledged Tfila. It's Lusa Yaser, so you know, you dive in a whole Tfila, whole Shemon Esrei with Brachas and everything. Unlike Shmuel thinks it's a form of Vidui. The Kevin, the Tzadu, Tzarich. If you've done the Ila, nothing for Ma'ariv. You can go home and eat right after the Ila. Umiyamarav Hachi. But Rav says, Ma'ariv is Rishus. So Ma'ariv is optional. You don't need the Ila to solve Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv is optional to begin with. So it says, even if Ma'ariv is Chova, nevertheless, the Ila patters it. That's the Gemara here. Tosos, the one we read before, point out correctly that Yushalmi disagrees. Could you show me if Tfilas Arvis Chova, Ni'ila cannot discharge the obligation of Ma'ariv? But Tfilas Arvis Rishus, Ni'ila can discharge the obligation. Why? The logic of Yushami is beautiful. Yushami is saying essentially, I think, what we said until now. Tfilas Arvis Chova, so Ma'ariv is not different than any other davening. And therefore, you have to doubt. But Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. What does that mean? So it means like this. Shacharis and Mincha are formal tefillos. Or they have also a formal element. That's the Karban. But Ma'ariv, what's the nature of Ma'ariv? You might have said before, it's a plea. It means simply crying out to God for help. Now, it's not exclusively Ma'ariv. It means you have every evening to cry out for help. There's no formal obligation. Rather, it means we tell you that you can and should cry out for help every evening. But whether you do it, doesn't have to be called Ma'ariv. If you've done the Ila, you've done the same thing. The point is, simply to cry to Kodesh Baruch Hu every evening. So if I've done it through the Ila, I've achieved the same goal. There's no need, no, it's not a question of counting the tefillos. There's no characterization of its tefillos ma'arvis. It's rather cry out. Mima'amakim kraticha. So if I've done it through the Ila, so I've done it perfectly. I don't need, through the Ila, I don't need an additional Ma'ariv. The whole idea is to cry out every evening, I've done it. And now, this is different than Shacharis and Mincha. And now we have to here get to the point, which is the whole nature of Arvis and of Shacharis and Mincha is different. Now this is expressed in a very simple point. Anyone will tell, if we ask any child, what's between Ma'ariv and Shachas and Mincha? The answer obviously is, it's not Chazor Zashatz. Why is this so? So here, for the moment I'll assume that Chazor Zashatz is not simply a service to the Tzibur. And that we offer people who don't have a daven, we offer somehow a service to be Motzei Midei Chova. But rather, Tfilas Arvis is a shatz is a communal davening. In other words, we come and ask ourselves, if Tfilos Kaget Tumidi, how can we say that Tfilos Kaget Tumidi Shachar? Tumidi Shachar is a Korban Tzibur. It's Tzibur davens. And Shachar, everyone davens in his own, corner. You can daven at home. You can daven on the road. You can daven, everyone davens separately. In other words, you have a tefillas yachid. It's like I claim that tefillas keneged tamid. There's Am Yisrael by one carbon tamid. But we bring 1,000 or a million shakras every morning. And not one. In other words, it's not a ceremony. Hakel, you have a ceremony, the king reads for everyone. But davening, everyone davens privately. Right? The Yushalmi talks about Adam nichnas bet haKnesset. You go into shul veomed yachrei hamud. He stands in a corner and he davens to himself. How can Adam haMesiach wasn't chaviro? You whisper to Kadosh Baruch Hu's ear. How can we talk here about some kind of formal tefila, famisos karban? The now there are various possible answers, One simple one is this idea that Rav developed, that you have a division between Chazos HaShatz and Tefillah B'Lachash. Tefillah B'Lachash is the individual private tefillah, and Chazos HaShatz is the communal davening. Or to put it differently, and this is ready to take an idea a bit from the Chassam Sofer, Tefillah HaYachid is connected to Avos, and Tefillah HaTzibur is connected to Tmidim. We have Tefillah connected to Tmidim by the Tzibur. So it's a separate and tshuva, and it's eminently logical that the idea or the halacha of davening that in any language, b'chaloshem, which is rachme, which is the plea for mercy, that's only in your private Shemona Esrei. The shliach tzibur has to daven in Hebrew. What's the logic? So he doesn't quite say this logic, but I'll allow myself to explain it. The logic is very simple. Chazos HaShatz is kineged korbanos. That's a formal tefillah. It's we're trying to discharge or to recreate the obligation of the korban. It's a formal ceremony. It's a ceremony. It has to be in Hebrew. While Chazara and the Tefillah B'Lachash is not a ceremony. Tefillah B'Lachash is an encounter between God and man. It's a dialogue. It's a conversation. So Tefillah B'Lachash is a conversation in community language. As long as God understands me, it's fine. As long as I understand myself, and everyone understands me. But Tfilas has Tzibur. That is a ceremony. And as such, that's to be Medafka in Hebrew. Now, what happens by Ma'ariv? So now in Shachris and Mincha, we have both. Because we have a Kiyum of Tfilah B'Lachash, which is the conversation. We have a kiyum of Tefillah B'Tzibur, which is connected to Tmidim. We have connected Avos, we have connected Tmidim. While Ma'ariv, because everything I said in the beginning, because it really lacks any focus as a korban, so Ma'ariv is not really, if I have to insist on korbanos, I look for the Evarim Pedarim. But the truth is, as Rashi says, that leads us to the idea of Rishus. However, to give Ma'ariv its real meaning, its real significance, it's because Ma'ariv really is the conversation. Now that is Tfilos Kineged Avos, Ken Yaakov Avinu, and therefore, there's no Chazos HaShatz, because the real idea of Tfilos Kineged Korbanos is really Chazos HaShatz, and that disappears when we talk about Ma'ariv. So we have left is a different nature of it. It's not that davening is optional. The whole nature of Ma'ariv is different. As time is running out, I'll be very brief, but I can't leave you without making the following two points. First of all, this comes across in the Rambam beautifully. There's a whole long discussion about can a person daven as much as he wants or not. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ulvai spalim kolim kulo." You can daven as long as you want. All day long, you can be immersed in davening. Others disagree. It's a complicated sugya, I won't get into all its details. Nevertheless, the Rambam here, and you can see it in source number 15, does as follows. Mijay stapeklo mispalil no ispalil. Eino chozer mispalil. Eino mispalil chizor zashi nedava. That is, if you begin to daven, you're not sure whether you davened ready or not. There's a person davened mincha in the office, and then he forgot, he came home, came to shul, and for mincha ma'ariv, and the middle of mincha, he reminds himself they actually davened earlier. So he has to stop, he can't conclude the tefillah, he has to stop because he already davened mincha. However, the Rambam does agree though, if you come to shul and you know you davened already, and you say, I'm davened tefillah s'nadava, b'vakasha. In other words, you can't daven Shachar Semincha more than once. But you can daven optional tefillahs, tefillahs nedava, as much as you want. Now, the Rambam says, if a person is davening Ma'ariv, and you remind yourself in the middle that you read daven Ma'ariv before, he continues. Why? The Rambam says here, Shoyispalo tavischila el adashen achova. It's like this. Ma'ariv, its very nature, the character of the tefillah is different. It's not that Ma'ariv, that Shachris and Mincha are an obligation, and Ma'ariv is an option. The whole nature of Ma'ariv is Ma'ariv is a voluntary tefillah in terms of its quality. it's characterized as being voluntary, which, or to put it differently, Ma'ariv is a conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shachris and Mincha have an element of obligation, have a formal ceremonial element to them. Ma'ariv doesn't. Now, the Rabbi disagrees. Put the Rambam, the nature of Ma'ariv is different. If you look, there's a Tosfos which says a similar thing, you can see before or afterwards. But the whole nature of Tefillah is the same. And if you look here in the previous source, the same ideas in Zeruah here with a slightly different application, he says the following. the few lines at the bottom. Vayinu v'tzibur, the tefillas tzibur kamakom tzmidim. Aval yachid, if I still have tefillah shoes, kamakom tzmicha, kentach neino mafsid. Like this, the tefillah, which is kineged tzmidim, is only tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'yachid is not kineged tzmidim. For the same reason I said before, the tzibur brings the carbon tummy. So the ceremonial tefillas hatzibur, shliach tzibur, that is kineged tzmidim. The tefillas hayachid isn't. The tefillas hayachid is a conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Ma'ariv is the nature of, it's not only that it's less of an obligation, its whole nature is transformed. For the reason that the Rambam and the Ozor explain, Ma'ariv is not kekat tumidim, it's no obligation kekat carbon. The environment pedarim, just say you can talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the essence of Ma'ariv really is kekat avos and not kekat tumidim. And because the tumidim element is so weak, and therefore, Ma'ariv has no chazot hashatz. Therefore, it's by its very nature, it's a reshus and not a chova. And therefore, it's because, and that's why it's also called reshus, because it's not ceremonial. It's not obligation. It's rather, a person should approach Kadosh Baruch Hu whenever he feels the need. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two. I followed in the footsteps of many achronim who assume that tefillas arvis chovas can't get avos, tefillas arvis reshus can't get korbanos. And then what we said then was that if tefillas arvis is reshus, so in a sense it skips from the idea of korbanos to the idea of avos. Some achronim, primarily Peshon and Netziv, they claim that even if tefillas can't get avos, marriage should be optional. But I begin by saying, why should Yaakov Avinu be different? Why do we assume that tefillas can't get avos, that arvis is less of an obligation? What they suggest is the following, and it's based on what we said before. They suggest that the nature of Yaakov's tefillah is different than that of Avraham Yitzchak. The Avraham Yitzchak, that Yaakov's tefillah is more optional by its nature. The reason I think being, like I said before, Avraham and Yitzchak, it's probably the ongoing dialogue between God and man. It's probably the ongoing relationship. So that's an obligation. In other words, twice a day, beginning of the day, and conclusion of the day, twice a day a person has to maintain the relationship. Yaakov is in distress. Yaakov is crying out because of the distress. So they assume that gives the whole, that changes the nature of the davening. It becomes voluntary. It's not the obligation to maintain a relationship. It's rather the ability to utilize it when you're in distress, when you're in need. So therefore, even though just kind of avos, they're assuming that Avraham and Yitzchak have a different relationship there with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The relationship there is one of a constant relationship which is ongoing. Yaakov has that, but it's not. But the tefillah is metaken, is a tefillah of davening. Those what Yaakov was metaken is, if you want, getting together in a time of crisis, say tefillah, whatever. So that is voluntary by its very nature. So the tefillah is kineged avos. Nevertheless, it's between Yaakov and the other two. That's the Pnei Yeshua, then it seems to something similar. Be as it may, it's just to summarize what we've seen, Tfilas Arvis is in the Gemara Machlokes with the Shus or Chova. If it's, now presumably it should be a Chova, why should it be any different than other Tfilot? So this takes us back to the question of the root of davening to begin with. Is it kineged avos, kineged korbanos? If it's kineged avos, presumably Yaakov is a full-fledged dav, just like Avraham and Yitzchak, and it should be a regular obligation. If we start taking karbanos, so then the paradigm of the Avraham Pedarim is much, much weaker than that of the Tamid Shal Shach Dosh Ben Arbaim. Shal Shach Ben Arbaim are the ongoing karban times on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a karban tzibur which you bring every day. At night, though, there's no identity of karban. It's no karban tzibur. The men of Yekim Avod at all at night. Avraham Pedarim are only chatchila b'di'eved. So therefore, because of all of this, this Arvis Rishus presumably reflects the idea that it's Kineged. Rashi says so explicitly. The Rav Yah disagrees, but many Achronim follow Rashi's footsteps, and it's pretty convincing. However, we then notice that it's not a question of what's the source of the davening, like what's the source that why was it established. Rather, after its establishment, it maintains a different nature. This, of course, is the Rambam and the Oz HaRuah, that Tfilas Arvis, even after it's been established, is not the ceremonial formal tefillah, or lacks the ceremonial formal element that you have in Shachris and Mincha. It doesn't, it isn't connected to a particular korban, and therefore it is not an obligation like they are. And not only that, its nature is more voluntary, meaning it's more free conversation with Nsiv calls Mitzakami the Matalev. This presumably goes with, together with the idea of distress. So therefore, even if we talk about Tfilas Kenei Avos, there are those who are willing to assume that the nature of Yaakov's tefillah was different than that of Avraham and Yitzchak. Of course, if you've ever gone to a hospital and seen people davening outside an operating room or whatever, that's the tefillah of Yaakov, which is, by its nature, more voluntary, but also maybe more intense. When you pray for survival, it's more voluntary, but much more intense. And therefore, Tfilas Arvis is reshus in that regard. And even the Rambam paskens that Tfilas Arvis maintains its nature, even though, and if you Shachris and Mincha, you daven once, that's it. Arvis, you can daven as much as you want because it's really voluntary. And of course, the point of Chazaz Hashatz. Chazaz Hashatz is the formal element, the carbon element of davening, while Tfilas HaYachid, which is the more dialogue or the man God relationship that retains in Arvis as well as in Shachris. That's it, and the rest you can think of some of the other questions.
I think according to Rambam that Tfilas Arvis began as Rishus, but it became Chova, or I think it's lunch on the goal, was that it was accepted by Kol Yisrael as Chova. Are there any other examples, many else in Halacha, of something which starts out as Rishus, and by agreement becomes practiced, it becomes Chova?
Not to such to the top of that, at the moment, top of my head, not this, what?
Oh yeah, well not. Well, I don't know if you're never true, that's something.
Not to such an extent. In other words, Minhag has changed many things. To the extent that's been like codified and formally been transformed, it's relatively rare. Because to begin with, like you're saying, which is optional but important, is also not too common. So I think here you find similar process, not the extent that already 1,000 years ago people are already telling us that once upon a time it was an option and now it's an obligation. So I feel I don't remember at the moment like anything so particular.
How do you, the Gula Tefillah is a bit weaker obviously in Maariv than Shachris.
So Tosos like this. Tosos, it's on the source. I don't have time to mention it. Tosos in Brachos Davdal Nachav Zayin say that the reason that you have less Smichas Gula Tefillah by Ma'ariv than in Shachris is because the nature of Ma'ariv is different. It's a bit of a problem. I would suggest the following, that because of the more voluntary nature of Ma'ariv, in Shachris we are. In Ma'ariv, because of the more voluntary nature, what's the idea of Smichas Gula Tefillah? The Smichas Gula Tefillah is to allow you to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you need the ability. In other words, how can man approach God? How does man have the chutzpah to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, Smichas Gula Tefillah is, here's the precedent. You know, because you have a relationship with us, you chose us, you watched over us for thousands of years, and therefore it gives you the legitimacy to knock on God's door, so to speak. And that's the metaphor which the Gemara uses, that you knock on the door. By Ma'ariv, because of this nature of distress, so you don't need the protocol. In other words, it allows you to, you can get around the protocol to a certain degree because